John chapter 14. I'm not sure what the songwriter had in mind there when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I assume he means the roll that's in the third heaven now, where the names of the Lord's people are there. Now, I might surprise you by saying I'm not sure I'm going to be there. I know I'm saved, but I'm not sure I'm going to be in that third heaven. And we want to look a bit at that. I want to try a little bit of a trace of where we're going to be when the Lord comes. So let's look in John chapter 14. And I believe this is maybe the only place in the life of the Lord Jesus when he was on the earth where he spoke of what we call the rapture. I don't believe in the four Gospels you're going to read too much about the rapture outside of this particular verse in John 14 verse 2. It says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Now that obviously is in the third heaven. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now, sometimes we hear people say and think that the Lord is going to prepare some mansions for us. I don't believe that's what the verse says. The verse says the mansions are already there. They're already prepared. He's gone to prepare a place for us in those mansions. And he said, "If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, "If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am," not where I'm going, but where I am. Where's the Lord going to be when he comes back again to get us? "I will come again and receive you, not in my Father's house, but I'm going to receive you to myself, so that wherever I am from there on, that's where you're going to be." Now the Lord at the moment he said that was here on earth, and there's no indication that he's coming back to the earth, as it were, to be forever. He is coming back to the earth. But so the Lord is simply saying, I'm in my Father's house there are many mansions. I'm going up there, but I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back again, and wherever I go from there on, that's where you're going to be. You're always going to be with me. Now the question is, where is the Lord going after he comes back to earth again? Now if you look with me another verse in 1 Thessalonians, which is another verse on the rapture. I think the Lord mentioned the rapture there, but it's Paul that gives us the more details about the rapture and exactly what happens when the Lord comes. That's typical because the four Gospels is sort of the seed pot of doctrine. But it's the epistles that explain those doctrines. You got baptism in the four Gospels, but there's not much teaching as to what baptism really means in the four Gospels. You got to get over the book of Romans and Colossians to see what the real teaching of baptism is. So the Lord mentions his coming. And he says, "When I come, in my Father's house are many mansions, I'm going to prepare a place for you there in those mansions. And when I come back again, wherever I'm going from there on, you're going to be with me always." Now, 1 Thessalonians 4, in verse 14, we see those people that have died who are now with the Lord in heaven. Not their bodies, just their souls. In verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them." They are with him already. All departed saints are with the Lord in heaven now. Their bodies, of course, is in the graves. "And this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain," we're still down here on earth, "unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent," or literally go before, "them which are asleep in Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven." This is the fulfillment of what he said in John 14, 2 and 3. "If I go away, I will come." So the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. So we see the Lord is fulfilling part of his promise in John 14. "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." So the first thing we learn about what Jesus said, "Where I am, there ye shall be also," we're going to meet him in the air. Now the air here is the atmosphere over the earth. And I think when you get about 60 miles out there in space, you're outside of the atmosphere of the earth. So somewhere out there in space, we're going to meet the Lord in the air. The living believer, those who are dead in Christ are going to leave the third heaven with the Lord from the Father's house. They're coming back to through the universal heavens, coming back to the atmosphere over this earth. And the dead in Christ are going to rise, and there's going to be a meeting there in the air. So we've traced our journey with the Lord that far. The first place we're going to be with the Lord is in the air. Now notice especially in verse 17, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Where I am, there ye shall be also." He's just reaffirming everybody that wherever he is, that's where they're going to be. So if we can trace where the Lord Jesus is going to be when he comes back again, then we can find out where we're going to be. Because where I am, there ye shall be also. So shall they ever be with the Lord. So he's coming back over the earth in the air. Now, most people think the Lord is coming back to take us up to heaven, the third heaven. That doesn't say that. He's only taking us up to the first heaven, the air over this earth. So we have to journey on to find out where he goes on from there. Now the Lord isn't coming back to get the church and take them back to the third heaven, and then coming back again to Israel. That would be two second comings. There are not two second comings of Christ mentioned in the Bible. There's only one second coming of Christ. One first, and it's already in the past. One second, the second coming of Christ. And he's coming back, we learn, from the third heaven, back near the earth, the atmosphere of the earth. And there's no evidence that he's going to take us from the air back up into the third heaven. Not a bit. That would mean he has two second comings. And that would be doctrines that are not taught, I don't believe, by anybody. There are two steps in the one coming. First down to the air. Later, after 7 years or so, later, he's going to continue that coming right down to the earth in Zechariah chapter 14. "And his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives where he left 2,000 years ago," when they saw him going up into heaven 2,000 years ago. So we've got that far. We've got in the air over the earth. Now, If you look with me in Revelation chapter 4, I think we can see him there in the air, and we're there with him. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1 is one of seven raptures in the Bible, seven people that were raptured, caught up into heaven. Goes back to Enoch, Elijah, Christ himself, Paul was caught up, John here is caught up, the believers will be caught up, the two witnesses in Revelation 11, they were died for 3.5 days in the streets of Jerusalem, and they came alive and they were caught up. There are seven raptures altogether in the Bible. And this is one of them here in verse 4. John says, after this, after what? After chapter 2 and after chapter 3, which gives us a prophetic picture of the church age in which we're now living. Or in other words, we might say after the rapture, after the church age is complete, after the fullness of the Gentiles is complete, the calling out of a people for his name's sake. After this, I looked and behold, a door was opened to heaven. There's only one door to heaven, isn't it? The Lord Jesus is that door. And here we see the picture of the Lord Jesus coming back again. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now John is caught up, as it were, in the spirit. He's having a vision. He's caught up in the air. And from that position he views the judgments that's going to fall on this earth. But here we got a picture of the rapture. The church is not mentioned after chapter 2 and chapter 3. It's all about the churches, the seven churches, which speaks of the complete church age. It's not mentioned from there on. John is seen caught up into heaven as a very fitting type picture of the rapture of the church. Now in verse 2, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. Now that throne that was set there wasn't there before. The idea, it appeared there. A throne was set in the heaven, in the air, over the earth. And one sat on that throne. And it describes him in verse 3. And it describes others sitting there on thrones in verse 4, which are a redeemed people. And verse 5, out of that throne proceeds lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, what you've got here is a picture, John caught up in the air. And what he saw there was a throne being set up in the air. And one was sitting on that throne. Now that one wasn't the Lord Jesus. It was the Ancient of Days. It was the Triune God, as it were, that was sitting on that throne. We'll see that later. And it describes him a bit in verse 3. And it describes the thrones around in verse 4. And it describes in verse 5 that they are judgment thrones. They are thrones that lightnings and thunderings and voices and judgments come down on the earth. And as you read on in the book of Revelation, you're going to find, I think there's about 21 different judgments. And they all come from this throne set up in the air over the earth. That's where the church is going to be. Going to be there with Christ. And the Ancient of Days is going to be there. Now, so we've got, so far, we've got ourselves caught up, and the dead is raised, and we're in the atmosphere over the earth. Now, keep your finger here, but let's go back in Daniel chapter 7. The seventh chapter of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 7, of course, Daniel and Revelation, you can read right along together. Daniel gives us much, but Revelation gives us more. In the book of Daniel, at the end of it, Daniel was told, close up the book. Don't open it until the time of the end. And Daniel closed the book, but he gave us much. So in chapter 7, in verse 9, we read this. I beheld till thrones were cast down. Now thrones that are cast down is the idea of judgment. And it goes on to say, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Now this is a judgment throne. In verse number 10, it might project on to many judgments, but it might end up in verse 10, it obviously goes right through to the great white throne judgment. When the judgment is said on the latter part of verse 10 and the books are open, you can read that in Revelation 20, verse 12 and on. And I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, that's the Antichrist. It's backtracking here a little bit. I believe verse 9 and 10 goes right on from Revelation 4 right to the end of Revelation chapter 20, when the final judgment takes place. I beheld then, and this Antichrist in verse 11, and the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body was destroyed and given to the flames. That's in Revelation as well. Revelation 19, the Battle of Armageddon. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. That's the Lord Jesus. The Ancient of Days sits in verse 9. This, in verse 13, is the Lord Jesus. Behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. That's the rapture, the coming of the Lord back. Coming back in the clouds, clouds of glory. And he came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. And there was given unto him, the Son of Man, dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations and languages should serve him, and his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now go back in Revelation chapter 4, and I believe you're seeing the same scene as Daniel chapter 7. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 2, there was a throne set up, and one sat upon that throne. That's the Ancient of Days. And in chapter 5 of Revelation chapter 5, verse number 1, we read this. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, that's the Ancient of Days, the triune God, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose those seals? That is, who's got the right to issue all these judgments that are following, that's recorded in this book, this seven sealed book? And John said, there was no man in heaven, and there was no man on earth, neither was any under the earth, that was able, worthy, to open the book, neither to look therein. See, because the only one that's worthy to open that book is the Lord Jesus. He's the only one that's able to judge sinners. Why? Because he's the only one that died for sinners. He's the only one that he's the only one that's capable of saving, and he's the only one that's capable of judging. So John weeps much because there was nobody able to break the seals and issue these. Nobody able to take that little book out of the hand of the Ancient of Days and break the seals and issue those judgment. So in verse 4, I wept much because there was no man found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look therein. That's what the word Shiloh means. In Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10, when Jacob was dying, he made a prophecy about when Shiloh shall come. Shiloh was a place. It was also a person. And as a person, Shiloh means whose right it is. And he's the only one that has the rights to judge mankind. And he's the only one that's able to save mankind. Now verse 5, And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed. He's overcome, and he's mighty to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. Now here you've got the Lord Jesus, there's a lion and a lamb. And there's about as much, they have about as much in common as day and night. A lion is the king of the forest, a beast, and a lamb is very gentle and meek and kind and harmless. So the Lord Jesus is the lamb when it comes to being the savior of sinners. He's the lion when he comes to be the judge of mankind. Now this scene is almost identical with Daniel chapter 7, where I was reading. Other than Daniel chapter 7 probably carries you from the beginning right on to the end, the great white throne judgment, this one doesn't, other than you've got to read the rest of the book of Revelation to get to the great white throne judgment. So it would seem to me when the Lord comes, he's coming back near the earth. We're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. We're going to be there in the air for 7 years at least, until he eventually comes back in Revelation chapter number 19. In Revelation chapter 19, you're going to see the Lord in the air with his people. Revelation 19. And verse number 7, in the air there's going to be, probably immediately when we're caught up in the air, there's going to be likely the judgment seat of Christ, but especially going to be the what's called the marriage of the Lamb in Revelation 19 and verse number 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Now the marriage of the Lamb is going. We are looked at now as the bride who is espoused to Christ, engaged to Christ. We're not married yet. There's coming a time in Revelation chapter in Ephesians chapter 5, when the Lord is coming back and he's going to present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. That's the marriage when he comes back. Here it is here, and it seems it's going to be take place in the air, over the earth. And the wife has made herself ready implies this, that the Lord Jesus made us ready to be there. But the wife making herself ready is the judgment seat of Christ, because our rewards will be given there at the same time. Now, go down to chapter 19 until you get to verse number 11. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. That's the Lord Jesus coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to judge the wicked nations and the battle of Armageddon will be fought in these following verses, and the beast will be taken in verse 20, and the false prophet, they'll be cast alive in the lake of fire. You read that in Daniel chapter 7, same language. So you've got the same thing in Daniel chapter 7 as you have in Revelation 4 and 5 and on through the rest of the book of Revelation. So here's the Lord coming right back to earth. Now, look in verse number 14. And the armies, at wherever the Lord is, he says, so shall ye be, forever with the Lord. And the armies which were in heaven followed him with upon white horses. Now the white horse is a figure of speech that has to do with people who have gained the victory, overcomers. And they're clothed in fine linen, white and clean. These are not angels. Angels are not clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That fine linen, white and clean goes back to verse 8, and it's talking about the bride. The bride is arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. So what you got in verse 14 is the believers that are raptured up with him, who are coming eventually right down to earth with him. So we're on earth. Now, where are those many mansions? Where are they? They're up there in the third heaven? I don't believe. I believe that comes down in the rapture, those mansions. Now if you flip over in chapter 21, I think you can work this into the same thought. That place that he's gone to prepare for us, those many mansions, that's coming down to earth as the New Jerusalem. Down near the earth, to the New Jerusalem. Now, when it comes down to the earth is debatable, but to me, it's more than likely it comes down in the rapture, because that's the home of the bride, and I can't imagine the Lord having a marriage in the air without the home of the bride being there as well. Most people in our lives, they get the cage before they get the bird, and so when they get married, they have a house to live in. So in Revelation 21, in verse number 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Now when does that? If you read chapter 21 and verse 1, you might get the idea that that comes down in the new heavens and the new earth. But the book of Revelation is hard to follow because it regresses. It goes back. It goes back over. It'll say something and go on to the end. It'll come back and pick up something else. So you can't follow a chronological order to this. I would say verse 1 of chapter 21 fits back into chapter 20 after verse 15. When all of the wicked dead are judged and cast into the lake of fire, then is when the new heavens and the earth comes. Because in chapter 20 and verse 11, we read about the heaven, the earth and the heavens fled away. Jesus, you remember, said, though heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall not pass away. The passing away of the heavens and the earth in chapter 20, verse 11, seems to take place at or right near the white throne judgment, the great white throne judgment. So when did John see, in verse 2, when did he see the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven? When did he see that? It was come down as a bride adorned for her husband. When the Lord marries, takes us to himself as his bride, in chapter 19, it's in the air, over the earth. And then he continues down to the earth. Now, in verse 3, what do you got? Haven't you got the Ancient of Days in that New Jerusalem? And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Isn't that what Daniel saw, the Ancient of Days? Isn't that what we read about in Revelation 4? A throne set up in the heavens, and the Ancient of Days were there, and the Son of Man was there to take the book and issue the judgment. So it seems to me that heaven is coming down to earth. I'm not going up there to the third heaven. But those mansions that are in heaven are all going to come down near the earth, either on the earth or near the earth, in the New Jerusalem. And to me, that's where we're going to be forever. That's where those many mansions are. And that's the place that the Lord Jesus has prepared for us. He's going to be there. There is no indication that the Lord Jesus is ever going back to the third heaven as the Son of Man. But every indication is that he's going to rule over this earth from the throne, from New Jerusalem. And we read in Daniel that his dominion is going to be forever and forever. Not just 1,000 years, but forever and forever. He's going to rule and reign. So I trust this doesn't confuse you too much, but it helps you a little bit. And know, and seeking to know a little bit of what it means that where I am, there ye shall be also.